be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be reading from the book of Acts chapter 27 today. I'm starting a new series, Four Anchors for the Storms of Life. Four Anchors for the Storms of Life. Pastor Rick and I, we did about 21 sermons on surviving the storms of life. But I want to talk to you about some anchors, four anchors. The first anchor is the cross. Then the Bible-based family. I'm going to preach on the cross this morning. Tonight I'm going to preach on the Bible-based family. Then the church will be my third sermon in this series. And then the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You need to go on in God. Go on into the fullness of what God has prepared for you. But there are four anchors. Those four anchors that will hold you in the storms of life. If you are a new Christian, you need to listen very carefully because the storms of life will come to you. They come to everyone because the storms and the problems of life, they are just common to man. We're in a world where there's sin. The Bible says where sin it abound, grace does much more abound. My subject, Four Anchors for the Storms of Life. This will be part one, the cross. And I want to lay some foundation before we read our text. In this chapter, there's the story about Paul on board a ship. He warned the captain about the troubles that lay ahead. And if they sailed out, there was great problems ahead, but the captain, he would not listen. And now the storm has come and it looked like they were going to sink. And it looked like everyone would perish. But Paul, as his custom was, he slipped away and he talked to the Lord his God. Look at Acts 27 and 20. It says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." And the Bible tells us that Paul began to pray. He began to talk to the Lord his God. That's what you do in the storms of life. You should run to God. And you should talk to God about what you're going through so the master can fix whatever it is you need being corrected in your life. The angel of the Lord appeared to Paul and told him, "Fear not, because God has a plan for your life." And that's what I want to tell some of you this morning. God has a plan for your life. It may not look like everything's going the way you want it to, but I can promise you, if you'll stay on the wheel, God will form you. God will make you. And he will make you into what he's planned for your life. The angel told Paul, said, "The boat is going to sink, but you and all those that are sailing with you, you're going to be saved." Paul had favor on his life. He's on the Isle of Patmos later, and a viper bit him on the hand. He shook it off. He said, "I can't die. I'm on my way somewhere. I'm on my way to Rome." Get connected with some people that are on their way somewhere. Get connected to an anointing. With people of like precious faith that can encourage you, that can exhort you, because there are storms ahead. The angel said, "The boat's going to sink, but you're going to make it." And Paul exhorted him, said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God that is going to be just like God has told me." Paul said, "The ship's going down, but we're all going to be saved." Isn't that wonderful that we all are going to make it? Look at verse 27, Acts 27, 27. "And when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipmen deemed as they drew near to some country and sounded," or they measured the water, "and they found it 20 fathoms, 120 feet deep. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded," or they measured the water again, "and they found it 15 fathoms, or 90 feet deep. Verse 29, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rock, they cast out four anchors out of the stern and wish for the day." I want to take this backdrop and I want to preach a series of sermons on four anchors for the storms of life. This is part one this morning, the cross. Tonight, if you'll come back, I'll talk to you about the Bible-based family. Hallelujah. We're going to have a great service. But God wants you to understand the complete work of the cross. That's his plan for you. Because if you can understand the work of the cross, the complete work of the cross, then you can get everything that God has ever purposed for your life. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, we praise you for these new converts. We praise you, God, that they have gotten a hold of you. And God, they are excited about this new life that they have. And Lord, I pray today that you will open their hearts and open their minds to the revelation of the complete work of the cross. Lord, we're all your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But Lord, it's the work you did. Lord, psychology cannot fix these lives. Lord, there's no education, there's no self-help works that we can do. It's all paid for at Calvary's cross, and we're redeemed with the precious blood, spirit, soul, and body. So we thank you for victory. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Everybody faces storms in lives. These men were in one of the worst storms they had ever faced. They had not seen the sun, nor the moon, nor the stars for about 2 weeks. They were in a bad situation. And the Bible says it looked like all hope was gone. That's a bad situation. You know, many times in your storms, the devil will tell you, all hope is gone. Have you ever been there in the midnight hour when you can't see the sun, nor the moon, nor the stars, and it looks like nothing is ever going to change? That's something about the midnight hour that makes you long for the day. I can remember when I was in combat, at the midnight hour between midnight and 3 a.m., it seemed like that was when Charlie liked to hit us. And it was something eerie about that time because you just didn't know what to expect. But I'll tell you one thing. If you put your hand in that nail-scarred hand, and if you will walk with the Master, he will tell you what to expect. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to my church. He shall show you things. He shall teach you. He shall lead you. He shall guide you. And then he gave us 66 books, hallelujah, to help us in our journey from here to heaven. You may be facing some dark situation, but if you will put your trust in Jesus, I want to tell you, you can make it through the storms of life. That's why I like that statement. When they measured the water, they realized that they were getting close to land. Sometimes you just got to measure where you are against where you want to go. Hallelujah. And there was a lot of rock out there. And the Bible says they cast out four anchors. They cast out four anchors to hold that ship steady because it looked like it would be wrecked upon the rocks. Now, you know that we all need anchors in the storms of life. Look at our nation today. It looks like we've cut all the anchors loose that made this nation great. We've cut the anchors of our nation loose and we're adrift today. We've cut the anchor of morality and kicked the Ten Commandments at the back door of our schools. We've cut those things loose. We've kicked God and the Bible and prayer out of the back door of our schools. And when we did that, we opened the front door to knives and guns and bombs and lack of respect. Lack of respect for authority. We've opened the door to chaos, immorality, and confusion. We've sown to the wind, and as a result, we have reaped a whirlwind. You cannot live your life the way the culture lives. You can look at the culture, and you can see what a mess we're in. But you must live your life based on the bedrock of God's Word. Today, we have a crime epidemic on our hand because as a nation, we have cut these anchors loose. Look at what's happening to our borders. Look at our politicians. Look at where our economy had gone to. Thank God we're recovering. But the stock market's down again, up and down, up and down. That's the way it goes. So I urge you today to make sure that your anchor holds, that your anchor grips the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the first thing I want to talk to you about in this series is the anchor of the cross. The story of the cross is a story of Jesus. And the story of the cross is a story of deliverance. I want to encourage some of you new people. The story of the cross is a story of deliverance. Total, complete, holy deliverance. Spirit, soul, and body. Life has its storms. And the Bible says that man that's born of woman, I wish this wasn't in the Bible, but it is, says he's few of days and full of troubles. So storms and troubles, they're going to come. But when you're born again, God delivers you out of your troubles. Troubles come, but God will deliver you. Now, I've been to Israel. I viewed the hill, Golgotha, the wooden cross that hung at Calvary. It is no longer there. The Christ that hung upon that cross, he has ascended, and he reigns and he rules as high priest of a new and a better covenant that he cut with his own precious blood. He is alive, and he is well, and he can transform your life and do the things you cannot do. That's the power of the cross. Outwardly, we see the cross no more, but the reality of the cross lives on. I'm looking at people who've been to the cross, and the reality that's before me, the lives that have been transformed by the power of the blood and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful reality. And in the reality of the cross, the lost, the suffering, the brokenhearted, those that are fragmented, those that are battered and bruised, they can find deliverance. Every generation can find perfect deliverance. Thank God the cross is real, and the cross is just as good today and just as powerful as it was when Jesus first shed his precious blood. And when the multitude saw it with their physical eye, I think back about Barnabas, you know, Barabbas, he goes by the cross and he looks up, and they had said, "Release Barabbas and crucify that man." And he goes by the cross and he looks up and he says, "That's the man that took my place." If you look to the cross today, if you look to Jesus, as the psalmist said, "I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, if you will look to him, hallelujah, you will find perfect deliverance. That's the one that died for me. That's the one who gave himself for me. That's the one who freed me from my bondage. That's the one who said, "I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant." The cross is just as real today as it was when the multitude saw it with their physical eye. And the cross today, it is a spiritual reality. And the plan of human redemption, it is centered around the cross. Now, we live in a culture today where the masses, they want a savior. Nobody wants to die and go to hell. And people want a savior, but very few people want a Lord. If you would put Psalms 23:1 up there. I preached two messages on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And after the first one, I felt like, well, I just did not explain that as good as I should have. I understood it, but I didn't know how to explain it. And David was a shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I said, "Lord, I don't think I explained that." And I used a lot of other scripture. But look at this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's invert that. "The shepherd is my Lord, I shall not want." That's a huge difference. David was a shepherd. He understood lordship. But today, we have lost the message of his lordship over our lives. If you will surrender all to him, you can have everything he paid for at Calvary. There are covenant blessings that belong to you. You don't have to stay where you are. I know what it is to lose everything. And I know what it is to be broken. And I know what it is to look like things are never going to change. But the work started in my heart first. And when I made that total surrender that I want to talk about today, that's when God began to change my life. And that's when I began to see my heart was right, but everything outside was not right. And God began to work on me a little here and a little there. And then I found out I was his workmanship, that he's still working on me. He's still working on all of us. But the reality of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. So as a Christian, you need to get this straight, young converts and older converts too. You cannot halfway serve God and have God's full blessings. Let me say that again. You cannot halfway serve God and have God's full blessings. Church, we live in a lukewarm Laodicean church age where people are neither cold nor hot. That's the condition of the church. And Jesus speaks of these people who are lukewarm. He says, "Because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." You cannot halfway serve God and make it. The half-hearted soon become the faint-hearted. So I'm here with a message of encouragement to encourage you to totally surrender yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You cannot have one foot in the church and one foot in the world and make it. The storms, they are ahead, and we need the anchor of the cross if we're going to make it safely to heaven's shore. Most of the people, they can see the cross of Jesus Christ, but most people in the church, they fail to understand that they have a cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me. What does that mean? It means that Jesus was in the garden and he was crying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Three times he prays the same prayer. And his disciples couldn't understand what he was saying. But when the Holy Ghost came into that little upper room and they were born again of the Spirit, they understood the message of the cross that he was talking about. You've got to deny yourself. You're a fisherman. You're tax collectors. You're a lot of things in the community. But what you've got to do now is take up your cross and follow me. And these people went out and turned their world upside down because they understood the reality of the cross. But every generation must understand this subject. Amen. See, the cross is a place of separation. The cross is a place of submission. The cross is actually a place of death. You must come to Calvary and you must die. You've got to die to your will. You've got to die to the flesh. You've got to die to the things of this world. And no one wants to die. But the only way you can truly be born again is to die. Except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if you die, praise God, there's resurrection power at the cross. Jesus was raised from the dead, and you and I, we can be raised. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Just like he was raised, we can experience resurrection power, and we can live a victorious life because of the cross. Hallelujah. See, if you're really going to follow Jesus, you got to put away the old and you got to put on the new. Come out of the clubs. Let me really preach this morning. Put away your cigarettes. Put away your alcohol. Put away your liquor. Put away your adulterous ways. Quit running with the party crowd. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Hallelujah. See, I had to put that stuff away. I could not have the victories in my life if I was going to continue in my sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Know you not that who you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. And let me tell you something. They never made a spoon so long that you can sup with the devil. You put your spoon in his plate, he'll gnaw it off up to your shoulder. Come out from among them and be ye separate. That's what I want to talk to you about. There are storms ahead. And if you're going to make it, you've got to have a right relationship with God Almighty. You need to be saved, and then you need the second blessing of sanctification. Hallelujah. When Paul met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he had the miracle of salvation. Later, Paul crawls back up on the cross, and he has the miracle of identification. He has that miracle of the sanctified life. He even said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. See, nothing is ever born clean. Not a dog, not a cat, not a horse, not a cow, not a baby. And not a soul. Everything that's ever been born, it has to be cleaned up. Hallelujah. It has to be cleaned up. And so it is when we get saved. We come out and we get this great salvation, but we're dragging weights around. We got all kind of stuff until we completely comprehend the work of the cross. Once you do that, they begin to fall off of you. Hallelujah. Once you do that, you begin to see that I'm crucified with Christ. Look at what Paul himself said. Look at Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I got back up on the cross. I got saved on that Damascus road. I had an encounter that transformed my life. But something else happened to me. I got back up on the cross. He said, I died to self. I died to what I had purposed in life. I died to my will. And I said, not my will, but thine be done. Same prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. If you're going to be like him, then you're going to have to submit to God like he did. Amen. Somebody help me preach now. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul said. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, the devil will tell you, you can't have all this stuff. Don't you know what you've done? Don't you know that you're bound by this? Don't you know that what you came out of? It doesn't matter what you came out of. It's who you came to. It's who you came to. And if you'll come to him, woo! I came to one day. I was blinded by the God of this world. He was taking me to a devil's hell. But all of a sudden, the blinders came off. Hallelujah. And I saw Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And I shed all the old, praise God, to put on the new. That's the greatest put on in the world. Put off the old and put on the new. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. You're going to serve God. If you're going to experience all that God has planned for your life, you must understand the complete work of the cross. If you're going to make it just like Paul, you need the miracle of salvation, and you need the second blessing, the miracle of sanctification. Somebody asked, what does it mean to be sanctified? I'm not preaching doctrine this morning. I'm preaching Bible. You can call it a second definite work of grace. You can call it the second blessing. You can call it cleansing. You can call it separation. A lot of churches call it different things. I made a commitment. That's what some of our brothers like to say. Well, when you make that commitment, guess what? It's the second blessing. You submit to God and you surrender all. Call it what you want. But what is sanctification? We just use the term sanctification because it's sort of fallen by the wayside, but it doesn't change it. Matter of fact, I wondered if I had the message for this morning, and I turned my television on, and I saw Jimmy Swaggart, and he had a panel out teaching about the cross. And I told my wife, I said, he's preaching my sermon. He's preaching on sanctification. And they didn't preach that in the assemblies, amen. But see, he fell from grace, but praise God, grace is wonderful. God took him back in, and God showed him the complete work of the cross. And he has a mighty ministry today, hallelujah. And I love to hear him sing, and I love the power of the Spirit that I feel that. He had never been taught this subject matter, sanctification. He didn't understand the second work. But let me tell you, it all comes from the cross. And if you'll crawl back up on the cross, if you bring your cigarettes, if you bring your habits, if you bring your burdens, if you bring your sickness, if you bring your disease, if you bring it to Jesus Christ, hallelujah, if you'll cast it at his feet, he'll take it. Somebody go and praise God. He's a great God. He's a good God. He's a wonderful God. And has power in the blood. What could wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood. Psychology cannot do it. Positive thinking cannot do it. You can take a man and clean him up. Clean him up from his alcohol. Clean him up from his lying, his stealing, and his cheating. His whoremongering, his adultery, and running around. I'm preaching now. Amen. That's where our culture is. You can clean him up. And all you've got is an old sinner that's been cleaned up. But if you come to Christ, to the cross, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, put Galatians 5:17 up there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, stop, look, listen. All things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. That's the cross. Hallelujah. Come back to the cross. Don't let the devil keep you bound. He tried to keep me bound. But I said, no, you are not my Lord. I understand Jesus Christ. I didn't understand lordship, but I knew I had a new Lord. I knew I had put off the old and I put on a new. I knew I wanted to serve God. So that's what we've got to do, all of us. It's not a legalistic code. It is the Word of God so that you can be free and be free indeed. What does sanctification mean? Two meanings. First of all, it means to make something holy or to make something pure. Secondly, it means to set something apart for sacred use. When God saved you, He said, you're mine. He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And right now you may feel like, well, I'm not very fruitful. I'm just struggling to make it. That's all right. Stay in the church. Get back on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. Let the potter form you and make you. Hallelujah. He'll make you. I promise you. He will make you. He'll make you over again. He said, on the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, some of wood and some of clay, some to honor and some to dishonor. In this house right now, there are some vessels of honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore will purge himself from these, the things of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto God, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepare for every good work. I told God years ago, I said, God, I know I'm not a vessel of gold. I know I'm not a vessel of silver. I know I'm not a vessel of clay even. I'm just an old wooden vessel. God, but if you will take some of that fine gold and inlay it on my life, if you'll take some of that silver and garnish it, if you'll take some of that beautiful wood, Lord, if you'll put it on my life, I won't be this vessel of just wood. I will be a vessel of honor, sanctified. People won't see me. They will see you. And that's what God wants for all of us, church. He wants people to see Jesus in you. He said that we're to be imitators of him. He said, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God is a good God. And he has some great plans for you. Sanctification is not a legalistic code. It is a divine act of grace which is done in the human heart. It is wrought by the Word of God. It is brought about by the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost, and faith in the operation of God to perform it into your life. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. The Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. This is the will of God, your sanctification. To reject sanctification, it is to reject the will of God in your life. God has will for you to continue to grow in grace and knowledge, to continue to put off the old and put on the new. It's not a legalistic code. It's a thing that from the human heart you say, Lord, I want to delight myself in you. Because if I'll delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart. You'll give me some of the things I'm asking you for, but you'll put your desires in my heart. And once I have your desires, I'll have your thoughts, I'll have your ways, and then you'll work it out in my life. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I was talking to my wife about that. I said, Paul, this great apostle, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What he's saying is, I can teach you. I can preach the word of God to you. I can bring the anointing of God to you. I can bring God's power. I can pray for you. I can pray prayers of deliverance, but I can't work your salvation out. He said, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God has some great things planned for your life. And I follow up. If I don't call you new converts, let me tell you, somebody's going to call you. I'm going to come around. I got somebody checking on you. Amen. I do that because I'm concerned. And I don't want you to fall off the wheel. I want you to stay on the wheel and to get everything that God has purposed for your life. Amen. Look at verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's powerful, isn't it? So what is sanctification? What does the Bible have to say about this divine work of grace? Let me just run it by you real quick. I'll give you the scriptures. They're not going to be up there. Romans 6 and 6 calls it the crucifixion of the old man. Romans 7, 24 says it is deliverance from the body of death. Romans 8, 6 and 7 says it is being spiritually minded rather than carnally minded. Galatians 6, 14 says it is the crucifixion of the believer to the world and the world to the believer. Colossians 3 and 8 said it is to put off the old man and to put on the new, which is created in righteousness and sanctification. Hallelujah. Put off one. Put on the other. You're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. Realize that. It was at the cross that Jesus shed his precious blood. And he bought you spirit, soul, and body. So it's not a legalistic code. You can go out and look at those two sermons on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I put 12 things that belong to the believer. 12 covenant rights that you have. But you cannot get those unless you're walking under the Lordship of Jesus. So I'm not bringing a legalistic code. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to under the power of the Holy Ghost, and I prayed, oh God, I can't do this thing. Lord, will you open the eyes to these people, God, because I know when I came out of my bondage, I came out of some tremendous stuff. I'm telling you, I had a lot of problems. Some of you might think you got a lot of problems. I had a lot. But God delivered me out of all of it. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ like that. We've all failed. We've all come short of the glory of God. Don't put yourself down. Put yourself back on the cross. Hallelujah. Put yourself back on the wheel. Go on, praise God. Amen. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says, it is the cleansing by the washing of the water of the word. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm washing you in the word of God. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 calls it the cleansing from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. See, this world that we're in, it will contaminate you. I mean, we're going out of here and we're going into situations and you've got to have the washing of the water of the word. When we come to church, we're renewed by the Holy Ghost. We get a shot, hallelujah, of this great salvation injected into us once again. We get to praise God. We get to worship God. We get to come together with people of like precious faith. And some of them are struggling, but we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to help one another. We're to pray for one another. Hallelujah. And then when we're having problems, we have a body that is there to support us, a church that loves us. Put our vision statement up there, David. Westmoreland, a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Maybe you're the first one that came. That's all right. Your whole family will come. I asked God, I said, what kind of church is this? I asked him years ago. He said, Sister Clara added the word loving at a funeral. She said, I've never seen such love. You ought to add that to the vision statement. I said, I think it's good. I'll add it. A loving, growing church. Look at that. Say it with me. A loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. We need to get people back to the cross. I have to crawl up there every so often myself. But I've learned something. It's what I want to do. I don't want what the world has. I don't need to do that twice. I mean, good gracious. I almost didn't make it. And when I saw the light, woo, glory to God. I came out of darkness into the light. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, you used to be a sinner, but you're saved by grace. Glory to God. He took our place on the cross where he died. Our sins to erase. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Shakla. Romokoria shakabariaha. Glory to God. I'm saved. I'm saved. Woo! Glory. I'm saved by grace. Hallelujah. I just can't contain myself. You'll just have to excuse me while the Lord and I have some communion. Do you have to act like that? Yes, I do. Praise God. This is a great salvation. This is a wonderful salvation. Isn't it, Brother Clark? I've seen him get up and dance in the spirit. Hallelujah. I've seen a lot of you get up and dance. Some of you want to dance, but you won't get up and dance. Dance if you want to. Praise God. This is a wonderful thing Jesus has done for us. And the devil would like us to sit in the church, a dead church, with no word, with no worship, with no power of God, like a knot on a log, and keep us all bound. No, go back to the cross. Hallelujah. Get back up on the cross. Let God wash you. Let God cleanse you. Let God sanctify you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, God wants to restore the glory to the church. He wants to come down in our midst once again and do some great wonders. And we're seeing some of that, but I still want to see more. How many want to see more? Hallelujah. Now, in the Old Testament, after the children of Israel were delivered out of Egyptian bondage, they went through the Red Sea. That is a picture of our deliverance from sin. And when they were about to cross over into the promised land, Joshua told the people, he said, sanctify yourself. He said, sanctify yourself today. Listen to me now. Sanctify yourself today so that your God can do miracles in your life tomorrow. That's the essence of it. Sanctify yourself today so that your God can do miracles in your life tomorrow. You've begun a journey. You've experienced some great things. I see the glow. I mean, people that have come in here, you were lost, and you had gloom and doom all over you. And now I look at and I see the glory of God on your face, and you look like a flashlight just shining back at me, beaming with God's glory. That's the cross. That's the power of the blood. That's what Jesus did for his church. Hallelujah. So you and I could experience what he has purposed for our life. Sanctify yourself today so God can do miracles in your life tomorrow. You see, in the process of sanctification, God delivers us from it. Then he delivers it out of you. Listen to me. God delivers us out of it. Then he delivers it out of you. That's what sanctification is all about. It's the crucifixion of the old man. Some of us are still trying to get it out of us. Some of us got out of it, but it is not out of us. Do you follow me? And the longer it's still in you, the longer you will have to wander in your wilderness. They wandered for 40 years. You can wander in a wilderness and have babies. You can wander in a wilderness and get a good job. You can wander in a wilderness and get some healings. But you cannot wander in the wilderness and get the miracles of God and what God has purposed for your life. They wandered for 40 years. Some of it got out of it, but it was not out of them. Some of you may be wondering, why are my prayers not being answered? You may be wondering why you do not have the joy of the Lord at all times. You see, there are storms in this life. But God is still a God of miracles, and he wants to do great wonders among his people. Many of you have been through your wilderness. Some of you survived some tough issues in life. You faced some hard times. So don't stop short of what God has purposed for your life. If you do, then everything that you've already endured, it will amount to nothing. You see, the cross is a place of deliverance. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. The cross is a place where you unconditionally surrender so that God can be God in your life. Romans 6 gives us a beautiful picture of it. I'm not going there today, but you got to know that the old man is crucified. Then you got to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. And then you cannot yield yourself as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourself as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's the process. Amen. We're crucified with Christ. We're buried with Christ. We're planted together in the likeness of his death. And we are raised in the newness of his life. Well, I haven't gotten all that. That's why I'm preaching like this. I want you to understand what the Lord Jesus has done for you in his mercy and in his grace. Paul gives us this great revelation You know, that we're new creations, that we're the temple of the living God, that we're crucified, we're buried, we're raised with him, and we ascended with him. And then he says, we are seated together with him in heavenly places. That's what God wants for you. Now, see, the struggle is over once you unconditionally surrender to God. It's over. It's over. God will still have to work on you, still have to renew your mind by the word of God. Sanctification is a crisis experience, but it's an ongoing process. He's still sanctifying me. I have my flaws, and I know it. Amen. We all do. Nobody's wearing a halo yet. Have you ever considered for one moment what you could be if you totally surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? You don't have to live your life locked up in prison, shut up behind walls, when you could be living the life of abundance. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. You may be in the storm of your life today, but God wants to come into that situation. I've seen people come in bound and go out free. And no matter how great the storm you're facing, or no matter how great the enemy that you're facing, God is able to deliver you. One man said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. God can deliver you. And those walls will come down. I promise you that. You feel like you're behind walls. How do you know they'll come down? Because I had my walls. I couldn't get through my walls. Jericho was straightly shut up. None came in and none went out. And I cried out to God. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm coming to get you. He came through my walls. And he picked me up. And he carried me out. I could not get out myself. But he came through those walls. Who knows what I'm talking about? He picked me up and he carried me out. Somebody go and praise him. Hallelujah. You got to decide, I'm coming out of this. If nobody else comes out, I'm coming out. I'm coming out if my family doesn't come out. Coming out if the praise team doesn't come out. I'm coming out if mother doesn't come out. If daddy doesn't come out. If the preacher doesn't come out. I'm anchored to Jesus. And I'm coming out. Okay. Hallelujah. I want Sister Lynn McKeel to come on up. She's got a great testimony. This is a good way to end a sermon on Sunday morning. Where did sin abound? It was in your heart. What is grace much more bound? It's in your heart. We need the anchor of the cross so grace can abound in our lives.
I'm nervous. I've never been good at this, but God's got me. He's told me to come up here and share my testimony, and that's what I'm here to do. It's all about him, and I praise him with everything I've got. As a child growing up, I would watch my dad hold my mom down on the floor, choking her until I would beg him to stop. As time passed by, as an adult, with all this anger built up inside of me, I have carried it with me. As an adult, I suffer from depression and anxiety, diagnosed at age 19. I was introduced to drugs in my late 20s. I thought I had found a solution to all my problems by drowning them out with drugs. In reality, the drugs caused more pain and hurt in my life. Not only me, but the ones around me. And in the end, took away everything I had. I found myself later in life having to go through rehab, outpatient for addiction. In between these trials, I have been clean. For many years, I was saved, baptized, forgiven by Jesus, only to lose my faith in God again. I got down on my knees one day and prayed to God he would send me someone in my life that would help me through this road called life. Going through a divorce, trying to raise my daughter on my own was difficult. This is when Steve and his children entered my life. When we all came together, there were many trials we went through. Again, my outlet was drugs, only to find out this was the devil destroying everything Jesus had done for me. I lost everything and everyone again when I lost my belief and faith in God. I found myself in outpatient drug rehab and shortly after a rehab for my depression and anxiety. It was during this time I realized what was going on. It was then I got back on my knees, praying every day, reading my Bible every day, going to church.
Yes.
Because I knew without Jesus I couldn't carry on. Today I woke up to find myself looking in the mirror at this mature, beautiful woman, child of God, which I have taken his hand again to reach out during this time and give it back to God. Growing my faith each day, things I lost during these trials, I am slowly gaining back.
Yes.
It's all because of Jesus.
Yeah.
That helped me through this. And he's asked me today to stand up here. And he can help so many of you that are going through trials. All you got to do is just reach out and touch him. Reach out and grab his hand and just let him have it all.
Yes.
Because he loves us all. And he's an awesome God. I praise him today. Look what he's done for me. Look what he's given to me. I was lost. I was lost when I walked in this church. And you all have just made me feel at home. Pastor Jerry, he calls on me, checks on me a lot. It's just awesome. I can't tell you how awesome it is. Just let it go and let God. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Glory. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. It takes a big person to do that. And some of you newer converts and some of you have come out of tremendous bondage. I want you to write your testimony out if you want to and share it with us. We'll give you that opportunity to share it. You know, it's the washing of the water of the Word, but isn't it wonderful to see lives transformed and still struggling through the storms of life, but say, I've surrendered it all to Jesus. Pastor Ricky, let's come to the altar. Somebody bring those troubles you have. Bring those bondages.
I'm in all of you.
Brother Bill, come on up and sing. Brother Ray, come up and sing if you will.
I owe all to you, I owe all to you. At the cross, I surrender. Oh, I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe.
Bring all those problems, all those burdens to the Lord.
Glory.
Come on up, talk to Jesus about it. Glory. Hallelujah.
I owe
cross.
All to you.
Anchor.